As always, a huge thank you to Starboard, who are once again this season's main sponsors. Starboard has a history of innovation across water sports, starting in 1994 by revolutionising the design of windsurf boards. And they've brought that bang up to date recently, bringing foil windsurfing onto the Olympic stage with their IQ foil package. Starboard got behind stand-up paddleboarding in a huge way in the early days and continue to lead the industry to reduce their environmental impact. Their focus on innovation brought them 7 world champions at the ICF Worlds last year, and all of them were using their Lima paddle range. They continue to improve and innovate their boards and their paddles for all abilities across all flavours of the sport, including adventure. And you can find out more about Starboard through their website, which is linked to in the show notes. Welcome to SUP FM, the sport's leading podcast, where we speak to inspiring people about the world's fastest growing water sport. Whatever your level, our aim is to help you to maximise your own experience of stand-up paddleboarding and to deepen your love of the water as we chat with people from both inside and outside SUP worlds. Every episode is designed to inspire, support and provide you with a deeper immersion into the sport through my conversations with leading athletes, adventurers, scientists, TED speakers and New York Times best-selling authors. If you like what we do and you want to support the podcast, give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. It only takes 2 minutes, and follow us on our new YouTube channel. A huge welcome to Brendan Prince and also to Sarah Supjunkie Thornley, my lead co-commentator on the day, as we approach the second annual SUP 12 event live in Torbay on Saturday the 13th of April. And just to say up front, if you do want to follow it on the day, either in full for the full 12 hours, or if you just want to check in and ask questions, then follow the Supjunkie Facebook channel, where we'll be doing the live stream all day. So if you haven't already followed Supjunkie, now's the time to do so, and the link is in the show notes. Well, welcome back to the show, both of you. It's always a great joy to be able to collaborate on an initiative and work with friends on an incredible event like this, and also to be raising money for your charity, Brendan, of Above Water. But before we start and launch into our preview, Brendan, you've got another properly gritty adventure plan that you recently announced. Could you just explain a bit around that? I think it's called the Celtic Crossing.
So 2 years ago, I had an idea to do something, and I'm still building to that thing. Sleeping on a board for 8 days was a big part of that, knowing I could do that. And now I'm starting to venture into more open water. And in wanting to do that, but also having a desire, because I paddle past lots of these islands with the paddle around the UK, and I thought to myself, it'd be great to go and see some of these. So I've got some plan, but one that's always really interested me, because we're on my doorstep, is the Scillies. So that bit of stretch of water, it's a mad bit of water. So I want to paddle to it, but kind of give myself a bit of extra pressure, more so to do with the tides and understanding tides than the pressure of the paddle. Because with the right training, I know I can do the 45K there and 45K back. But can you do it with those tides? So it's about picking the right day. You know, it's probably going to be 3 times this summer that those conditions will be just right for tides and wind and everything else. So that's the challenge, to go out on one tide, literally touch the sand with your toe and turn around and paddle straight back.
And that's quite a meaty journey, because as you say, the tides are the challenge there. The tides come in from the Atlantic and they basically funnel round Land's End, which I presume you'll be making landfall one side or other of that. But you need to get that timing right, because you might end up in France or Ireland, I guess.
Yeah, or just out into the middle of the Atlantic, really. Because the tide doesn't. So the tide comes from the Atlantic, and if you think for simple terms, just hits Land's End and then splits either way, whereas it doesn't really. It does that for about 3 hours, but the other 3 hours it kind of goes in all different directions. So it's it's quite hard to have a, you wouldn't get ever get a straight line from one to the other. So it's about that bend to get there, and then obviously to have the bend to come back. And things like spring tides rather than neap tides make a big difference on that arc and that bend. And then obviously wind over tide, you know, for a 12-hour period. So, and also it's getting the flow right. So I need the flow to go from Senen to the Scillies for the first 6 hours and then back the other way. So in a perfect world, and there's a few times that this happens through May through to September, it's about a 3-4 o'clock start in the dark when you paddle, start paddling. And then you're there by mid-morning. So the effects of the day's sun, etc., won't, but then they will for the second half coming back. So yeah, there's a crazy amount of paddling and a little bit of luck that it all comes together to be able to do it. Because if you have great conditions to paddle out, that probably means it's not great conditions to paddle back. So it's all about getting it right, and that's the challenge. Wouldn't be a challenge. It was easy.
Well, exactly. And it's all the education. And again, I don't know what you're planning, but my conversation with Chris Burtish, it's all about time on the water and experiencing all of those different conditions. I guess you've sort of there and got the T-shirt on your paddle round Britain. But yeah, it certainly seems like this one's going to be an exciting one. And obviously everyone will be following you with rapt attention. And I mean, looking forward to following that and your other adventures going forward. So very, very exciting. Well, of course, ahead of that, we've got a hugely exciting event coming up. Obviously that is SUP 12, which is arriving very, very soon. And we were all involved, obviously, Brendan, you, so you were involved in it, but it was mine and Sarah's privilege to be there doing the live stream for the inaugural event last year in Torbay. And it was a really special event to be involved in. But I think probably to start with, and it might be sensible for the benefit of people who are new to this ultra race, to understand exactly what it's all about. So, Brendan, can you just explain what SUP 12 is and how the race format works?
I've always wanted to do a race which takes you through the 12-hour cycle of the tide. So whether you're and the next Olympic paddler or just somebody who wants to experience tidal conditions for the very first time, the way the tide works and our weather and conditions, you need to be out there for 12 hours. And to be paddling for 12 hours is an enlightening experience because you see everything. So go into last paddler standing and understanding that actually there was an appetite for this sort of longer distance, just bringing the two together, and that's exactly what it is. So it's 12 hours paddling. You start at 7 a.m., but you don't have to paddle all day. What you'd have to do is complete a lap. So when you complete a lap, you can then go straight back out and complete another lap. So the likes of Bruce Ironside and others last year didn't stop and cracked on, and you know, they've achieved 30-odd laps. Or you can do a lap and then go and sit down. And that's the beauty of it. You have to pass your rest station as part of completing your lap. And rest stations have an ability to just draw you in and call you in and say, no, stop for 5 minutes. And that stop for 5 minutes turns into 10 minutes because you speak to somebody and have a chat. And I love all that aspect. But that aspect is a great draw. So people choose to kind of give themselves targets within understanding that. So they might do one lap an hour. They might try and do two laps an hour. It depends who you are, the type of paddler you are, and what you want to get out from the race. But we're set up for you to paddle for 12 hours. So let's see what you can do and achieve. And that will be the best you can do on that particular day. And the fact that we've got, you know, over 100 paddlers this time doing it, there's even more people to chat to and have fun with. So that will, for some, that will be the draw, and they won't do as many laps. But for others, they'll just have to head down and focus. And that's the beauty of it. It's delving in, not necessarily to your paddling ability, although every lap, as I said last year, is a different lap because of that. It also delves into your resilience and your mindset and just, you know, what you want to get from the event. So that's why it's so awesome to have you guys there talking with the people to kind of get their feelings, get their understanding of what is racing for 12 hours. And you did such a good job last year. As I said to you, I've booked you in for the next 10 years.
Yeah, we're definitely doing it, aren't we, Sarah? The Anton Deck of SUP race commentary. It was great fun. And Sarah, I mean, you know, you've been to a lot of races. You've competed in a lot of races, international meets and so on. And obviously, as an ultra distance race, this felt very different from the standard race meet, mainly because the real community feeling behind it. So how would you describe the vibe of SUP 12? Because it definitely felt very, very special, didn't it?
Absolutely. And I think having watched and been obsessed with Last Paddler Standing the first time, I think we all realised that this race was sort of same, but different, but it really captured our imagination. It was lovely in year one because there were 27 paddlers, so we could really talk about those paddlers and engage with them. We had the lovely Gavin Knox over from Northern Ireland. And he actually, you know, he was wonderful because he came over on a bit of a whim. I think he borrowed your board, Brendan, and he just absolutely fell in love with the event, the people. To him, it was all about meeting different folk, like-minded folk who just love paddleboarding in whatever form. And it was this crazy race. And he just loved it so much. He's coming back, which is very exciting. It's really very, very different, but it just, because of its sort of longevity and it's a real sort of, will they, won't they? Will they, won't they carry on? Will they stop at their station? How far are they going to go? I mean, it was incredible last year, and the stats proved that with the girls and the boys at the top who just, Bruce did 30 laps, 105 kilometres. I mean, just bonkers. There are some amazing paddlers, but I think it's just captured people. You've got the racing, you know, the short stuff, the 16K. You've got the sort of tiny baby endurance like the paddle skedaddle, you know, fantastic events. You've got the 40K. And then you've got this one where there is no actual limit on it. It is just a time limit. So really the world is your oyster. You could just go down, paddle the first hour, go and have a coffee, paddle the third hour. I don't know. It's brilliant. I love it. I love the format. So thank you, Brendan, for creating this event.
Oh, I just love seeing people paddle and seeing people paddle through the full sort of tidal cycle and to experience, you know, and to watch their paddling style change because it has to, because at one point you're going to have wind on your back, which is great. And on other points, you can have wind in your face, which is not so good.
And the area, Tor Bay, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, the English Riviera, but it's almost like a sort of amphitheatre down there. It's quite uniquely protected, isn't it? So you do have the test of paddling on a marine, on a sea environment. But I was quite surprised at how docile in some ways that the weather conditions were, because there was a little bit of a wind last year. You've got the Clapotis coming off the sidewall, haven't you? But it's actually, you know, quite a good and predictable environment. Certainly the conditions were like that last year. Obviously hoping for the same this year.
Yeah, I mean, you just summed it all up there, really. It is a proper amphitheatre on the water. And 80% of the time, it's glorious. I must admit, the last 3 weeks here, 4 weeks, it's been horrendous. I've had some proper paddles out in it because it's been a mess. But hopefully we're using up all that 20% bad days, which means that, you know, it's a coastal environment, so you're going to get that. But chances are it's going to be testing, or it could just be one of our many absolute flat pan days all day, which, you know, and every year will be different. There'll be years that will really test. And I want to get, you know, there might be years where actually people are going, do you know what? I'm going to sit out for the next 2 hours. I'm not going in this. But because of the way the tide changes and the wind's change, that 2 hours may pass, and it could be completely different, you know. So that's part of your tactic within your ability, but you're in a safe environment to test that ability, because we're there to help you or pull you out if you need to, you know. That's the whole point.
So let's take a little look back to last year before we look forward to the competitors this year. And obviously, as I mentioned, it was a huge success. And I think there's something about an ultra distance race that really sort of injects a real community feel, because you're absolutely right, Brendan, about the fact that, you know, lots of opportunities for chatting. I think me and Sarah might have been partly responsible for chatting to some people beyond their time. But you know, it all benefited the live stream in the end. So there was a greater good there. And obviously, there are a lot of paddlers who went last year, crucially are coming back this year. And as you've said, the numbers have swelled from 27, I think, that we had last year to over 100. And I'm not sure whether you realised at the time how much of a success last year was, but it was certainly quite incredible attracting all those people back. Gavin, I spent a bit of time with, he was using your board that you went round at Great Britain on, I think. So I was joking with him, it can only turn right, but he did a pretty good job there. But I think last year everyone eventually found their edge, and there were competitors who had competed at a high level and who are machines, and for others it was their first race, but everyone put in a fabulous performance. But if we're talking about the top performances last year, why don't we just start with the winner of the ladies category, Emily Evans. So Emily delivered 25 laps in total, and she was quite some way ahead of the other female competitors. Sarah, what were your impressions of Emily last year? Because she was an absolute machine, wasn't she?
She was. She came into this race. I mean, she's raced competitively. She's done whitewater rafting and got medals for that, World Championships, European. She's a very, very strong young lady. Tiny little thing, muscles like Popeye. She's great. And she came into this really wanting to win for the ladies, even though there wasn't a separate category then. But on the day, she really wanted to place, well, first, second or third, she would have loved. But she just didn't stop. She was like a metronome machine. She just kept going and kept going. And she had a couple of, she's got, you know, her good friend Sarah Perkins, who was doing it as well, who's from Wales, absolutely, you know, pushing her on. We were all pushing Emily on because we realised her potential, not just in the short stuff, but in the long stuff too. So she's done some endurance trail running and done very well with that as well. She's just a super strong paddler. Unfortunately, I don't think she's here this year, which is a great shame. But she is, I think, concentrating on the shorter races, maybe the National Series and, the shorter stuff. But what a girl. I mean, what a girl. And I think if she'd come back, she would be absolutely gunning for that top lady spot this year. Fantastic paddler.
Definitely. And you know, the race does take a lot out of you. I mean, particularly, you know, as you say, Emily's got an unbelievable amount of stamina and to deliver what she managed last year. 25 laps she completed. And then in second place, there were a couple of paddlers who I know you know very well, Andrea Richardson and Sarah Perkins, who were four behind. And I think they're both competing this year.
They are. I mean, Andrea and Sarah, my two sup buddies, we're off to Italy next week, which is very exciting, girly trip. Andrea had not done a great deal of paddling. She's had a few health issues over the last few years, and she just thought, I'll just have a go. She just, again, was inspired by the event, wanted to maybe do 12 laps. She did 21, and she came second. She was absolutely made up. Really such a strong paddler. Absolutely. And let's hope soon that she gets back to her full strength. And Sarah Perkins, my surf buddy and paddling buddy, again, super strong. You know, we paddled the Loch Awesome Challenge together, heads down, battling through sort of 30 kilometre winds and whatever, mental. And she came third. So really excited to see those girls there again. And I think, I hope, that they will, you know, go knocking on the door for more than 21 laps. But again, it depends on the weather, the conditions, how they feel on the day. Absolutely. Great girls, and lovely Karen Greener, Bruce's partner. She's coming back again. I think she did 15 laps last time. And she's, you know, she's scared of the sea. She's not comfortable on the ocean. So she did incredibly well last year. So let's hope Karen comes back and has a great paddle as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it certainly dealt with some of that anxiety. She looked to the manor born, didn't she, as she was sort of completing those 15. But, I mean, I guess with Emily not being there this year, the women's race is wide open. Do you think that it will be an Andrea and Sarah show, this one, or are there any other new entrants this year who you think it's worth keeping an eye on?
Absolutely. I've got my eye on a couple of girls. So Tanya Ecker from Germany. They've got a couple of paddlers coming over from Germany, actually, which is really very, very good. Now, Tanya Ecker is an incredible athlete. She not only competes at world championships like the ISA or the ICF, but she also does the Sub 11 Cities, which, as you know, is a five-day multi-challenge. I don't know whether she's done the all-in-one, you know, the non-stop, but she has won the Sub 11 Cities challenge. She's such a strong, strong girl. I mean, she's proper, you know, she just looks strong. She's amazing. So she's absolutely one to watch. And the other lady who I'll be very interested to see is Kaz Dawson. So Suplas from Wales, lives in Wales, and she is going to do the Amazon Sup Challenge this year. So be one of the first paddleboarders to do that challenge. And again, another strong paddler. I think she broke her ankle a few months ago, but she's been training in the gym and feels, actually, now she's better, she feels fitter than ever. So, yeah, Kaz Dawson, Tanya, definitely keep your eyes open on Andrea and Sarah for sure, because they've done it before as well. They know how it works. They know when to stop, when not to stop. So,
yeah, it's interesting, the tactics that were followed last year. I think we all learned a lot about sort of a successful approach. But looking now at the men's side, obviously Bruce Smith topped with 30 laps, 105 kilometres, with PJ Simmons just one lap behind him on 29. And watching those guys go through, like Emily, they just didn't really stop. They ran through the transition zone out the other side, and then they were paddling. So just a bit of a word about Bruce Brendan, because he was the overarching winner, and he was just absolutely unstoppable, wasn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he had a real focus, and what was so lovely, and it's testament to him as a man, but also as a racer. The first couple of laps, he stayed with Karen and just paddled with her to obviously make sure she was confident and competent and happy to kind of crack on. So he was a couple of laps behind the leaders at that stage, and then if ever was the best phrase of just putting the hammer down, that's exactly what he did. For the next 10 hours and obviously came out victorious because of that mentality, just to crack on through. So that was brilliant to watch.
And I was just wondering whether or not that was actually a canny piece of race management, because obviously the temptation is to sort of go off like a sprinter. If ever there was a race that was a marathon, not a sprint, this one is one of those. So starting more gently, you know, a good warm up, a test of conditions, that might have been an advantage. And looking at his splits, he basically kept going with a minimal time on shore throughout the entire duration of the 12. I think he had next the odd Red Bull, but other than that, he just flew through those transition zones all the way through, whereas PJ, he was leading for quite some time, and then he spent a bit more time on shore, and I think that sort of made up a lot of the difference between the two races, although actually Bruce was lapping at roughly about a minute a lap faster. But what an incredible performance.
Sorry, just to add to that, because this is an important factor. You said quite rightly, you know, do you slow? It's a marathon, not a race. But also, if you factor in the conditions, you're going to get the best and the calmest, nicest conditions between that sort of 7 and 9 in the morning, and then probably again from about 6 to 7 at the end. So do you actually go out and smash as many laps to start with? You know, that's where you start to think, what tactics do I use here?
Yeah, well, there you go. Those of you who are competing and listening to this, there's a bit of exclusive from the head honcho of the race there, Brendan. Sarah, we spent a bit of time with Bruce and Karen at the APP in London, and he really sort of showed his class there, because he came right the way through the open men's sprint and amongst the professional ranks. And so it just shows how flexible he is as an endurance athlete. He can sort of deliver it on these ultra level races, but he's very, very quick as well, isn't he?
He's super quick. Back in the day, we had a little nickname for him, which periodically comes up, the Chihuahua, because he's tiny but fierce, and it really suits him. We've been watching him for years. Started at the Nisco events, the One Design Racing with Karen, just, you know, consistently been on the podium really for shorter races. And as you say, at the APP World Tour, and, you know, he does not look like a, you know, he's not a Conor Baxter. He's not tall and skinny, or, you know, he's tiny and, you know, quite wide. But boy, can he paddle. Let's liken him to Michael Booth, actually, because he's much more in stature like that. At the APP, amazing. They were blown away by this, you know, canny northerner who was up there with some of the best of them, and they popped him into the pro sprints. He just is fabulous. And, you know, let's move on to the last paddler standing. And Bruce, you know, will he have learnt so much from that race to bring now to this race, because he competed in that last year and he was in the last four. I mean, absolutely mind-blowing. He is a very, very strong man. And for him to be that gentleman with Karen and paddle with her until she felt comfortable. Yeah, will he do that this year? I think, Karen, you're on your own, kid. He's going to go for it. So it's great that he's coming back. And I think PJ has got something to prove. You know, he's a fantastically strong paddler, been paddling for many, many years. Proper waterman, does all the water sports, represents Starboard, Starboard dealer. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting battle between those two for sure, let alone the others that are coming this time.
Well, that brings me on to those. So who else have we got to watch amongst the men's side of the race? Because Bruce is pretty unstoppable. Obviously, PJ has a point to prove, and he's a phenomenally talented paddler as well. Who else have we got our eyes on that men's?
Well, we've got the two young men who were third and fourth last year, Fox, Butler and Dominic, are coming back. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. They both finished on 26 laps. It'll be great to see and compare from last year. Who else have we got? Well, we've got a dynamic duo that are Craig Sawyer and Skip. Again, they've just done the Yukon 1000. I mean, 1,000 miles in 10 days. Does that stand them in good stead for this event? I flipping think it does. Skip was here last year and... Craig was here last year and came 7th out of, you know, this is a ladies and men, so 7th overall. And Skip is coming along. Skip is a strong man and will just go on and on and on without stopping. He's a little bit like you, Brendan, actually. We just keep paddling. Falls off a lot, and he will admit that himself, so we always have a bit of a laugh about that. I think those two guys are definitely to watch. We have got Chris McDonald, who, I don't know if you've heard of him, Brendan, but he's a young man who flits around the world, is very unassuming, but just is a proper waterman. For the last year, he's been training the Saudi Arabian team, national SUP racing team, and they all came to the ICF event in France, and he's back in this country, so he just wants to put himself about and have a go at these incredible events. So watch out for Chris McDonald, very quiet, unassuming, lovely guy. We've got a prone coming, Brendan, which is epic, isn't it? James Fletcher from Scotland. He's raced in met for many, many years with the GB Subnational Series. He loves it. He's really supportive of the series. And he's coming down and he's had a couple of challenges that he's put together, more the endurance style and out on the open ocean. So it'd be great to watch him. And I think prone paddling is fascinating. And the other person I've put down is Crispin from Waterborne Sup. He was watching last year, and I don't know if you remember, Simon, but he came on the live feed and we had a little chat, and he was absolutely inspired from watching the live feed. I've got to do that next year. Big guy, strong guy, used to race. I used to race with him back in the day, and he's a very, very strong man, and I think this will suit him very, very well. I don't know how many laps he'll do, but it will really, the conditions will really suit him. So that's my guys to watch.
Yeah. So I'll just add a little to that in that firstly, the first shocker is Fox isn't coming this year. He's pulled out, deferred to next year. So, you know, that a few people will be breathing a sigh of relief for that one. Great to see Mr. McDonald come in. Really, really excited to meet him, actually. And then James Fletcher did have two other prone. We had three on the circuit, which would have been awesome to see and would have been great for James to have someone else to paddle to. Both the other ones have sustained injuries in the last couple of weeks, so they've deferred till next year. So we have just got the one prone now. So all eyes on him to see what he can do as a prone paddler. And I'm hoping I'll do one prone lap with him.
Oh,
I'll
nice.
Get my race prone out and do that with him just to give him, because he's going to, otherwise he's going to be out there doing it all on his own for the whole time. So,
yeah, that sounds brilliant. One other person, can I just mention one other person? A man called Duncan Holton, who he's coming over from Germany as well. And this is his first race. He's an adventure paddler. This is his first race. And if he's got anyone to blame about it, it's me, because I really encouraged him to come and have a go.
So. We've got you to blame. That's fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him there this year. He does a lot of adventure paddling, and we've talked previously about having a session talking about paddling in Germany. So, yeah, like you, Sarah, I'm really excited to see him and comparing notes on our mutual music icon Mark Rebere.
Well, we must definitely look that up.
So we mentioned about the changes last year, this year. So last year it was a relatively sort of simple format, but as we've already referred to, there are some different sort of, we've got prone taking place this year and we've got tandem as well, and then there's also options for relays as well. Do you want to just talk us through that, Brendan?
Yeah, so we've got about five relay pairs in it, and also a relay four. So that's really cool. And obviously the tandem and the prone. So we've got more of that going on, which is just kind of cool, that vibe of just being on the water together. But there are some changes. So we've got categories now, as in we've got 39s and under. And then, so basically 40 to 50 and then 50s and overs. So a male and female this year. So we've got three categories for ages and obviously the male and female. So that just gives everyone a little bit more to kind of aim for, because who knows what they might win within their category. As far as being out on the water is concerned, we've taken a harder stance this year on, so you can get on your knees and paddle, but if you do that and use that to gain distance, then you cannot podium. So if you do that, because there will be new people that will have to and do their laps and to get around and to feel achievement. And I don't want to put anyone off that they can't get down on their knees and paddle. So you're allowed to do that. But if you do that and create forward motion, so move forward, then you will not be allowed to actually podium finish, and whoever it is behind you on this will take your podium place from you. So that's just to sort of encourage those that really want to race, but also not put off people to participate if, you know, their mission is to just get around and do as many as they can within that time. So yeah, they're the main changes, really. And I'll just say, just before you finish, Simon, that it's great to have you. You're going to be inundated because there's a lot of people actually coming to watch. A lot of key, you know, names that you'd think perhps would be racing that have gone and gone, well, actually, I'm just going to come and watch this year. So I think you'll be inundated, not just with those people, but also sponsors. There'll be lots of sponsors there. And also Paddle UK. So Paddle UK, representatives from Paddle UK are going to be there, including the CEO, to come and have a look at SUP Racing, because this is really about putting SUP Racing on their radar of all they're trying to do for the sport. So, you know, it's hopefully going to be a real spectacle for that. And to have them there showing their support is fabulous. So, yeah, all that as well. It's so exciting.
Oh, it's going to be a great, great day. It's going to be a great weekend. Can't wait. Great that you've got their sponsors. Great that Paddle UK are backing it, Brendan. That's really, really positive stuff. They're certainly engaging with racing, aren't they?
Absolutely. And this is just a start then for more races all up and down the country, I'm sure. But we've got to start somewhere, and it's all about being really good at what we do to show them how much impact we can have within the world of water sports through our SUP. And doing it in the way we're doing it is, you know, there's not many other water sports that do it like that, because let's face it, SUP's a lot cooler. So we've just got that vibe, haven't we, eh?
Absolutely.
We certainly have.
We're the cool kids.
We are indeed. So I couldn't think of a greater note to sign off on. Fantastic event. Thanks again, Brendan, for involving me. I know Sarah feels the same way. It was an incredible thing to be involved in last year, and obviously a testament to the success of last year with the growth that it's experienced this year. So super, super excited. I think, Sarah, we're starting our live streaming, aren't we, on the Friday evening at the race briefing, and then we'll be delivering a 12-hour live stream all day on Saturday, starting at 7 a.m. Probably starting slightly before 7 a.m. just to share some of the pre-match atmos. But yeah, very, very exciting race. And just as a reminder, where should people go, Sarah, to be able to watch this live stream?
Well, as you say, really excited about the race. Can't wait to start the live stream on the Friday evening. Please watch it on SUPJunkie.uk Facebook page. That's our new page, so less followers than before, but we'd love to get some of those back, and we really appreciate everything. Come and say hi to us on the beach and do interact with us on the live feed, because we love your questions. We love, that's the whole point of doing it on Facebook, is to get that those people watching, and we can give shout outs to your friends or family who are paddling. So yep, check it out on SUPJunkie.uk Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. And while all the paddlers take all the glory, braving the sea and paddling for 12 hours, you know, it's a bit of an endurance for us as well, isn't it, Sarah? I mean, we don't like to shout about it, but no, it's fantastic fun, and it's a real privilege to be able to follow it as fans as well as commentating on it. So if you are around, please ask questions as we go, and just follow the narrative, because it really is a bit like a 12-hour soap opera, isn't it? Just following all the various different characters, and we'll chat to as many racers as we can on the day, and there might even be some surprise guests dropping in, so please don't miss out. Guys, thank you very much for joining me. We had a few tech problems earlier on, but we managed to get through in the end. But really looking forward to seeing you in Torbay and to another year's successful SUP 12. Guys, thanks for joining us. Look forward to seeing you by the water and for another exciting SUP 12. Take care. It's been 10 years since we launched Hutch SUPware, with our objective to equip paddlers like you with quality gear that celebrates this fantastic new sport. After 10 years, we're clearing the decks with a 20% discount across every item in our store. Durable, stylish, and designed for the SUP enthusiast, our products are made to last. Celebrate our anniversary with us. Use code HUTCH20 at checkout for your discount. But don't wait, stock is limited, and when it's gone, it's gone. Visit hutchsupware.co.uk and live a life in balance.